So we are experiencing a 4th of July weekend, and I was very aware of that in flying home on Friday. It seemed like it was one of the busiest days in the airport, and flights were delayed, and it seems to be a time of great celebration. People like to come together and be with family and enjoy the fireworks. And so my talk title for today is Working Together Toward Universal Freedom, Toward Universal Freedom. So I wanted to speak just a little bit about the Declaration of Independence and what it took for a group of humanity to stand up against tyranny and oppression and say, we will not tolerate this oppression anymore. So the Declaration of Independence is the founding document of the United States. It was adopted on July 4th in 1776. Most of you know that. The Declaration justified the independence of the United States by listing 27 colonial grievances against King George III in Great Britain, and by asserting certain natural and legal rights, including a right of revolution. In other words, that right to call for change. Since then, it has become a well-known statement on human rights, particularly its second sentence, and you can join with me because you probably all know this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are, all humanity are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Breathe into that. These words that were written 230 plus years ago. And recognize that this holiday that we celebrate is to honor the courage and the strength of those who stood up against Great Britain and their rule and said, we choose to be free. And Anna Julia Cooper, who is a Black liberation activist, or was, she's an author, was an author, and a sociologist, she says, the cause of freedom is not the cause of a race or a sect, a party or a class. It is the cause of humankind, the very birthright of humanity. And so I want to invite us as we celebrate this weekend in the next couple of days, a recognition for each of us individually of what freedom means. And in scripture from Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. And in scripture from Galatians 5:1, it says, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So friends, coming into current day and what freedom does mean to each one of us, let us recognize that back in 1776, this amazing world event that is one of many, but a very pronounced declaration of the importance of freedoms. Let us come to current day and take a look at the many aspects, the many different types of freedoms that there are. And now, some 230 plus years later, where do we stand and what are we each personally doing to be a part of and to create forward into universal freedom? So let us think about our own right for personal choice, the freedom to have those choices. Let's take a look at all of the systemic isms that are present. Racism, genderism, sexism, ageism. So many isms out there that arise out of the structures in our societies, what we have grown up with, what we have been taught. And recognizing that as we are celebrating this particular holiday, it is wonderful for us to be mindful of what we are choicefully doing now to dismantle those belief systems that keep us captive, that keep us locked into the past and into oppression and tyranny and persecution. In scripture from Psalm 146, 7b through 8, it says, "The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind." Aren't we blind at times? Because a lot of the isms that we experience are often unconscious, and we're not even aware of them. It goes on to say, "The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous." And what when we talk about righteous, it's not that being better than or more righteous than someone else. In unity, we talk about righteousness as right useness. So the Lord loves those who are willing to wake up to their own personal isms, their own personal beliefs, our own ways of our own self-judgments, the things where we are captive in not expressing the fullness of our true being in all of who we are. Consciously dismantling our own systemic belief isms leads us toward universal freedom. So, and I might have to ask Alex afterwards for some of these pronunciations. I did look this up on how to pronounce, which is always an interesting thing. But so this is the slide, Susan, that has José Luis Uso Domingue and Josué Antonio Nescalarde Selva. Thank you. And they are two writers among many scholastic writers who do tremendous articles. They graduated from the University of Valencia. They're both authors and hold doctorates. And they say, "Belief systems are the stories we tell ourselves to define our personal sense of reality." Belief systems, they're stories. Every human being has a belief system that they utilize. And through this mechanism that we individually make sense of the world around us, of course. We have to create some sense and some meaning, and we do that by the beliefs that we have either consciously or unconsciously adopted, because they are inherent around us, in our families, in our cultures. It says these sets of beliefs are reinforced by culture, theology, and experience and training as to how society works, cultural values, stereotypes, political viewpoints, etc. A belief system need have no basis in reality. Let me repeat that. A belief system need have no basis in reality. Whew. Let's breathe on that one. As we walk through our lives day to day, the commercials we see on TV, the news that we experience, the politics, we begin to see that we are inviting past belief systems that we have taken for granted, that we have just adopted. We are beginning to see the error or the falseness in so many of those isms. And this opportunity of acknowledging what the 4th of July stands for, which is independence, which is that call to stand for freedom, invites each of us, friends, to begin dismantling our own sets of reality and belief systems that we have carried. Booker T. Washington goes on to say, he's a dominant leader in African-American communities. He was an advisor to many U.S. presidents throughout history. He was an author. I love this. He said, a lie doesn't become truth. Wrong doesn't become right, and evil doesn't become good just because it's accepted by a majority. We all should rise above the clouds of ignorance, narrowness, and selfishness, friends. And how easy is it to just fall into what someone else says and without recognizing? Have you ever realized somebody will voice a judgment about something? And we'll go, oh, yeah, that's not right. Or, oh, yeah, some judgment against a person or a political power or something. And then many times that's happened to me. And then I walk away and I realize, no, wait a minute. I don't agree with what they said. But there's that power, sort of that swaying power, because it's so much almost unconscious in us. And over the past few years, there has been such a great focus on dismantling and becoming aware of our racism, of our sexism, of our genderism, of our ageism, of our so many isms that we carry. So this is a call to each of us, all of us, in this holiday, for this wonderful celebration of 4th of July, celebrating independence, to recognize the courage that it took for that body of humans to stand up against Great Britain and say, we declare ourselves free of your tyranny. I'm inviting us each to stand up against our own thought systems, conscious as well as unconscious, about the isms that we carry with us, also just about our own self-judgments, the things that where we limit ourselves, where we feel we're not good enough or creative enough or can't sing good enough or any of the things that we judge against ourselves. Oops, sorry, wrong one. So as we move into this week and forward from this week, let's have it be about recognizing what are our chains that bind us, what are our belief systems that keep us limited and in a box, and to begin to dismantle those. The first thing to do is simply to have greater awareness. We go, well, how do I get rid of these? You know, because serving on the Unity Worldwide Ministries board a couple years ago, and we began studying a great deal about racism, and I grew up thinking I was not a racist, and yet as a Southern Californian, didn't have any of those quote-unquote judgments, and it began to slam me in the face and was hard to even recognize or acknowledge that there were these subtle belief systems that would come up within me around all kinds of isms. I notice it now in myself, even as I watch a commercial on TV. And some of them were not prevalent in same gender types of commercials. That was not prevalent as I was growing up, and it was like taboo. You didn't talk about it, it wasn't noticed. And though I thought I was open and affirmative and all of that, I noticed there's a little part of me at times that reacts. I go, oh, that can't be on TV. Oh, wait. Those are the little unconscious thoughts in each one of us, friends, that I'm inviting us to start becoming aware of. To notice that, you know, for me, it's like they have me by the tail, because that really isn't how I want to choicefully experience my world. And not to beat myself up about it, but to become aware, and in that awareness, open my heart into the presence of God, into the presence of that freeing spirit of a greater consciousness that will loosen those bondages, those chains, that will begin to release, because, you know, it's prevalent in our societies and in the ways we grew up. And so it's not about beating ourselves up, but becoming more aware and more aware and more aware, and noticing, and then turning that over to spirit and opening our hearts. Leonardo Pisana, I looked that one up too because I was not sure of the pronunciation. There we go. Has said, he's a DEI specialist for MSU University, a keynote speaker. He says, as we develop a critical consciousness and work to help address and dismantle racism, sexism, and other forms of oppression, it is important that we apply a systems approach to our work and begin to analyze, uncover, and change the ways that oppression is operating at the personal level, like the beliefs and the ideas we have, at the interpersonal level, at institutional levels, and at cultural levels, friends. This is up to us, each of us, individually, choicefully, again, to just notice, excuse me, to notice and be willing to acknowledge, oh, there's that little thing there inherent in me, that little belief system still. And by shining light upon it, by that awareness, it begins to lift its hold and begins to break those chains and set us free. And from the empowerment dynamic, that's that same slide, thank you. Freedom starts within you and your relationship with your own thoughts and internal conversations. You will never be truly free unless you are free from your own inner tyranny and self-persecution. So friends, you know, the famous statement of freedom isn't free. It's kind of trite, but it's so very true. We oftentimes take our freedom for granted, especially in the United States, more so. And it's important to be willing to recognize that in working together towards our universal freedom, freedom doesn't happen outside ourselves. How many of us are looking to, okay, oh, if we change that over there, if we change this over here, and, you know, that's not where freedom starts. Freedom starts within the heart and the being of each and every one of us. And until we begin to shift those places that are still stuck, that are still oppressed, that still hold thought systems of oppression, we will not have freedom in our outer world. However, as we begin to do the work ourselves, then that freedom moves within us, and we open ourselves. We begin to feel the flow of spirit that begins healing everything around us, because we stand up, as the body of men did in writing the Declaration of Independence. We stand up within ourselves, for ourselves, and for that which is a greater consciousness and a higher consciousness of healing love, of embracing all. And that begins to move us towards universal freedom. Not just the freedom in our belief systems in our world, but freedom from the belief systems that are limiting within ourselves. From Eric Butterworth, Discover the Power Within You. He's one of Unity's premier writers. He says, all discovery is self-discovery, and all knowledge is self-knowledge. Thus, the greatest discovery in science is not the outward accomplishments, but the inward revelation and the truth that sets us free to take the outer step. And Charles Fillmore goes on to say in Atom Smashing Power of Mind, through the quickening of spirit, in other words, as we are open to the awareness, to seeing the places that are blocked within us, as we are open to allowing the spirit that is universal God, omnipresence, as through that quickening of the spirit within us, we are loosed from all limiting ideas and are set free in the Christ consciousness or realization of the absolute. The consciousness of the Christ is of limitless life, strength, power, wisdom, love, and substance that are everywhere present. So friends, this is a little different take on the 4th of July. But I saw, how many of you saw some fireworks last night? Did you see them? I live on the river, so people shoot off a lot of them around. And so it was wonderful to see that. And as I was working on my talk, and I just went, wouldn't it be wonderful if all those little belief systems and isms in me and all those things that are the chains in me, if I could just shoot them out into the sky and they burst and they explode like fireworks. So as I was watching them, I noticed one little thought. I went, pew, let that one go, and pew. So I invite you to have your own personal fireworks session this holiday. And then also, as you, if you're seeing any fireworks, let them just carry some of these old habits, beliefs, and ideas that are not the truth of our being. Let's let them just explode away in beautiful light and be done and healed and blessed. And from Scripture in James 1:25, it says, but those who look into the perfect law, now this is not the perfection of our minds, the way we think of perfect law. What Scripture is referring to by perfect law is the infinite principle of the law of our universe, of the presence of God. So those who look into that, those of us who are willing to be aware, to notice, the law of liberty, look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, not being hearers who forget, but doers who act. They will be blessed in their doing, friends. So this is about taking action ourselves. It is about taking a stand for freedom, for ourselves and for others. And from Psalm 118:5, out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. Friends, let's trust in spirit to help us in this work, to know that when we do it from our own intellectual minds, we can get caught in the chain of justification and so many things that keep us trapped. When we trust in spirit, when we drop into that place of intuition, into that place of inspiration, into that place of openness, after we set off those fireworks and there's space there, when we trust in the Lord, we are indeed set free. And so in closing, I will share a quote with you from Nelson Mandela. Most of you know he was the first African-American president of South Africa. He was an anti-apartheid activist. He says, for to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. So let us celebrate this 4th of July, friends, in creating our own freedom through our awareness, through the activity of spirit that opens us to heal and to bless. And as we do so, we indeed move towards creating a greater universal freedom.